Seeking the Lord's gracious help, we will turn to the Song of Solomon, and in chapter 2, I will read the verses 3 and 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the verses 3 and 4. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We have before us the most precious and glorious passage of Scripture. I know that the Orthodox Jew will not read this in his home. It will only ever be read in the synagogue. And the reader has to be at least the age of 30 years old. They believe the language to be so high, very much like David's words when he said in the psalm, "It is high, I cannot attain unto it." But as the burden of this evening was laid upon me for a little while, and there have been those seasons when other passages of Scripture have seemed to have come and gone, this alone has remained. Oh, that the Lord may speak, that we may hear his precious voice. And what of the language here? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. If we enter into the Psalms, you will read something like Psalm 63, where there is that spoken of in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, that cry out of the desert, as it were. And when, in considering the thought of those various trees that bear fruit, there is nothing quite like an apple. To this day I can remember I had come to the close of the services of the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And the farmer and his wife, who had lovingly cared for me during the day, as I was about to leave, he said, "Do you like apples?" "Of course I do." He gave me a box of the most high quality Cox's that I've ever eaten. But there was none quite like that. The remembrance of it still comes back at times. Even my own family, we speak of those things that were provided. But here the language is more in a spiritual manner, in a spiritual context. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Oh, this is the blessedness of fruit. The fruit that the Lord provides. And I was considering those words, and it's Hosea that records it, when he says, "From me is thy fruit found." And when we go into the laws of Moses, we can see that there were those things that the people of Israel were to do upon the receipts of the harvest, how they were to be presented unto the Lord, as it were, a glorious provision to be made to present those first ripe fruits. Dear friends, do we know anything of them? I'm thinking now spiritually. Those times of blessing. We find perhaps the book of Ezekiel a very difficult book to fully understand. But when you come into the language of the 18th chapter where the dear man, he records, he says, "Thy time was the time of love." And he was speaking of ancient Israel. Do we know anything of these things? As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. there is here, we believe, the reference to the Lord Jesus Christ in all that beauty that is contained in him. And as you may be granted a face view, oh, may the Lord open our eyes to look upon this dear Redeemer. And what an apple tree he is. How glorious is that fruit. If you've known anything of it, you do need to taste it to prove it. It's no good holding the apple in your hand and looking at it, is it? You need to taste that apple. And the blessing and the mercy as you receive it. And as it is yours. And it's a very personal application. These things are recorded of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church speaking. And this is the bride speaking of the bridegroom, the heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, have we know anything of this sweetness as the apple tree among the trees of the wood? What a glorious provision then is here. You see, the apple was always considered to be that fruit that represented the spirit of love. This song of Solomon is a song of loves. Or to know anything of it. It's in the Lord's hand and power. It's his work in the soul. If you've ever felt a touch of redeeming love in your soul, you will be enabled to say, why this apple tree that was held to be so glorious, so necessary, and yet such a glorious provision. And let us think what has to take place in the understanding of fruit to come. And of course, we know the seasons well. There is that time of blossom that we are now in. And we have the language later in this chapter, the beautiful language, as the dear bridegroom calls to his bride. Verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And in meditating upon these words, this came into my mind. Think of the beginning of creation and the beginning of human life. Adam and Eve in that garden, the Garden of Eden. What a place it must have been. No imperfections there, only purity and holiness. And God, being in the presence of God, surrounded by every blessing, all comforts there. But oh, may we consider the apple tree here. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this earth. And all the provision that is in him. A glorious provision of life. How that apple tree needs life, does it not? And we can see this. And I've known over the years, as a good friend of ours, he was a member of our church at Bexley for many years, with his own nursery, with his own apple trees. Many a time I've climbed them to take the fruit down, which was sold, which was passed on. And I don't remember an apple tree dying very easily. How they live, and they continue. And just speaking naturally here, I remember one in my parents' own home. If you looked at the tree, you would have said, why, what is that? It didn't look anything much. It was a gnarled old thing. And yet, when the time of fruit came, it was what was known as a James Grieve. And because there was a Cox's tree nearby, the cross-pollination produced one of the most beautiful flavoured apples you could ever eat. All that apple tree, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Isaiah records of him, doesn't he, when he says that his visage was marred more than any man. And he speaks of that beauty that formed, there was nothing that we could look upon to desire him, as it were. Think of that picture of one suffering, bleeding, dying upon a cross. Oh, if we were there, could we have looked at it? How tremendous a picture it must have been to those that looked on. How awful to see the sufferings of one whom they knew and loved. But that dear apple tree upon that cross was greater than any here upon this earth. For in him was life, as John records it. And that life, he says, is the light of men. And that life, though it briefly became death, all that life continued. This apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. Boy, we can read on, can't we? We can come to the beautiful language of this passage of scripture, and we can speak of him, and we can come to how he is, and we can say that his mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is chapter 5 and the last verse. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, this glorious provision then of that which does the heart so much good, the blessings and the mercies of a precious Christ. And we have this illustration here of this beauty that is provided, this glorious fruit. And the passage here of the scripture where it says in verse 3 of here, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Oh, that you may know something of that. That fruit of his precious body, where his precious blood was shed for you. That fruit of life, the fruit of mercy, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. He says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And what a great mercy when we are enabled to, in the heat of the day, have a covering, a shadow. But it is this glorious apple tree that is spoken of here. This illustration of that which is precious. That which is so sweet to our taste. Why, it is the covering that we receive from him. That covering of his shed blood on our behalf. The covering of mercy. The covering of redeeming love. Dear friends, do we know these things? Have you tasted? Have you receive them? Have I? We can truly say in times past there have been those precious times when we can speak of it, how this fruit was sweet to our taste. This glorious fruit, the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that beauty, in all that power, power to save, the power of divine love. For this is the language here. There is one being looked upon who is precious and glorious, but also necessary. Do you not need more of it? You see, you need a continual supply. And this is mercy, is it not? How much we need that supply of mercy. We cry unto the Lord continually, rightly so. For all have sinned, says Paul, and come short of the glory of God. But again, I need to come back to these thoughts. Here is a provision, and it is precious, it is glorious. And when you taste of it, when you receive it, well, you can say that so is my beloved among the sons. Why, he is more precious, more glorious than I could ever convey. If you know anything of him, if you know a touch of his love for your never-dying soul, dear friends, that is precious. Dear Peter records it, doesn't he? In his epistle, when he says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So this apple tree among the trees of the wood. And then let us consider the fashion of that apple and what it does for us. When you taste the apple, why, it is life-giving in a sense, isn't it? Think of that sweetness. Think of that goodness. How precious it is. For all of these things are the supply of life, aren't they? And there's a continual supply here. And this was the harvest time. And this goes on in the Lord's mercy. And it was his, and it is his covenant still. Seed time and harvest, he says, shall continue. And they do go on. And we can think of this, the one called our dearly beloved. So is my beloved. Oh, can you speak of him as such? Who is he dearly beloved to your soul? Yes, you prove how that dearly beloved one in the tasting of his fruit gives you life. That's how it began. He put life into you. It quickens, doesn't it? It starts that life off, as it were, within the soul. It's the beginning of life. And what a great mercy that is. And so it has continued. And so it will do so until that day of the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. And it's a great blessing. Those children that we are given, we rejoice over them. We're thankful for them. We would love them. Our care of them is very much as this dear one cares. As a father pitieth his children, so have I. We understand these precious truths. The compassion of the Lord. Even Jeremiah records it, doesn't he, in his lamentations. He says, thy compassions fail not. They're new every morning. So we continue to receive blessing. And this blessing is this dear apple tree, the Lord Jesus Christ. All blessings found in him. All blessings flow from him. Again, the scripture declares, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There is everything here. All our needs are found in him. And so is my beloved among the sons. This old, you have some need. Oh, you come and you would plead that you may have some of this fruit. And perhaps you've felt that it's been a long time since you've tasted it. Oh, but when it comes again, with that glorious freshness. You know, we live in a day, do we not, when these things seem to go on all the year round. But I would still say that when we come to the true harvest time and you receive that which is the freshest, not been stored, oh, that's still the best. There's still nothing like that. Why, that freshness, that life. He would put life in me, says Job. And he proved it, that he did have life. And the Lord gives life. And tasting of this fruit is the receiving of it. And, oh dear soul, do we have anything in our heart, within our soul that is life? For it's come from this apple tree, the Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious picture of it. Lord, may we prove that that tree has provided for us. And then, rather than thinking of the beginning of life, there's that refreshing once life is received, isn't there? There's that refreshing again. There is something secret, as the hymn writer said, sweetens all, and it returns, it comes again to the soul. Where again you receive a token of that love. Again you receive a token of mercy for your never dying soul. And you're refreshed. All this is the need, is it not, of our soul. Or to receive more, or to have more. It's a constant supply that we seek and desire. May the Lord grant it unto my soul. So you come to the throne of grace, all to taste, all to receive. But there is the supply, and the supply is here. And in this glorious refreshing, of course, it revives us, doesn't it? There's a reviving work that continues. If this reviving work did not take place, how soon we would languish, we would die. But there is mercy, there is forgiveness, there is pardon, there is cleansing. Yes, we can return to the throne of grace and plead for that forgiveness of sin. And in receiving of it, there's that refreshing for our soul. There's that comfort. There's that blessing in it. her blessing is here. A glorious blessing in this supply. Oh, the need of it. Have we not received it? And what then is our pathway, whatever the Lord may have decreed for us, whether affliction, whether trial, whether poverty, whatever is in the Lord's sovereign will, yet there is some sweetness. There is that comfort. And we prove it, that the Lord will never leave his people. He said that they cannot be left nor forsaken. And they may complain, they may cry, and they may say amongst themselves, Israel did in the past. There is the record of it. The Lord hath forsaken me. He says, yea, those may forsake. He's speaking there, there's the dear man, the prophet Isaiah, of one who perhaps, that mother that may forsake her child. He says, but I will not forsake thee. And they are not forgotten of the Lord. And so this is to be received afresh. There is the reviving. There is the returning. There is the comfort again to come. There is the blessing still to be received. For from this apple tree is great blessing. The blessing of the Lord. We read in the book of Proverbs, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, have we not received some of these blessings? But the blessings for our poor and needy soul, the blessing of redeeming love, the blessing of mercy, the blessing of grace, that how much comfort is here. Why, these things are provision, as we've thought, the provision of comfort, or the provision of peace. But there's a deeper provision here, not even in the provision of just this life, but of everlasting life. There's the provision of hope. Oh, we look to this precious source, this precious supply. He says, I sat down, or does, I would say she really, because it's the bride speaking. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Oh, the sweetness of the taste of redeeming love. It is beyond my powers of expression. But I can tell you this, that if you've ever felt it upon your never-dying soul, it'll make you weep. And I love the language of the dear hymn writer, John Stocker. It's hymn number 11. He says that he wept to the praise of the mercy he found. I cannot better that language. I do remember my mother. I was a child of 5, nearly 6. And she spent a whole summer, it seemed to my mind, weeping. The little boy, I said, Mummy, why are you so sad? Her answer was, I am not sad. Neither was she. I do believe she was granted a very sweet blessing and mercy, the Lord being poured into her never-dying soul, the comfort of love. She said to the dear man who baptized her, Mr. Reginald Morris, she says, I'll never doubt again. His reply to her was, but you will, my dear, but you will. He was being truthful. Oh, but she knew what it was to receive a precious Christ. Have you and I not received likewise? Has there not been that blessing? Have you not sat down? Yes, there you are, under his shadow, with great delight. You know, when you receive these blessings, all the delight is beyond our understanding. True praise flows. The spirit of worship raises up within the heart and will ascend up into heaven. For it must. It must praise and glorify and exalt a precious Christ. And you sit down under his shadow. Or you're covered by that robe of righteousness which the Lord has woven for you, and that you are covered by that precious blood of Christ. There's your covering, there's your hope, there's your blessing, there's your mercy. there's your everlasting life. And it's great delight. Why, it's eternal joys await them, those dear ones, as the hymn writer records it. He says, nothing know we of the season when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day. Glorious day. Eternal joys await them, he records. Think of one, do we not, that has departed from among you, but to be in that glorious place. Oh dear friend, what must it be to be there? The language of the scripture is, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what he hath prepared for them that love him. I cannot describe it, for I've not been there. But there are those tokens. There is that faith view. There is that sweet and precious hope. There is that which we receive. A token of it, as it were, that we can, by faith, have that sight, a precious sight, of a dear Redeemer, a glorious bridegroom, a heavenly bridegroom, one who loves us. This is the record here in this Song of Solomon, is it not? That love of Christ to a poor and needy soul. How the bridegroom loved his bride. And we have in verse 4 these words, he brought me to the banqueting house. All the places to where we enter into, but this is the most precious. I believe it to be, and I think of it as such, as that place where it is the gathering of the saints, the house of God. It is a place of banqueting when the Lord sets the table. You know, when he spreads it before you. When he says, as he did, read to the closing chapter of the Gospel of John, 21, he says to the disciples, have ye any meat? They had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. They said no. They knew what it was to come as they were. He says to them, come and dine. Or what it must have been, how humbling. All their toiling, all their rowing, oh, it had come to nothing. But all that was in a precious Christ, all the revealing of it, look at the supply. Here it is most glorious. He brought me. It's his work, is it not? It's his power. His power to save. The dear Redeemer states, all power, he says, is given unto me. That's divine power, sovereign power, the power of mercy. Or the mercy of God to a sinner is beyond my understanding. Why? Why me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? But he has done it. Oh, may we be lovingly, humbly enabled to record before him, he brought me. Friends, has he brought us? Do you feel that drawing power in your soul? Oh, that the Lord may grant it to you. Those of you, dear friends, who've known it in the past, oh, you desire it again, don't you? You want more of it. You want to know me. You see, I read the first chapter because of the language of it. Go to verse 4. What does he say? Draw me, he says. We will run after thee. Draw me. But if you have any drawings to a precious Christ, you know you have a poor and needy soul. You know you deserve eternal wrath and condemnation. You know that you have no right to mercy. Oh, but you would plead for it. You would wrestle for it. You would seek it. Oh, that the Lord would have mercy upon me. And that drawing power works upon your heart and soul. And you must come. And you must plead. And you must wrestle. You must be often at the throne of grace. Oh, you long for that to be provided. And now here is the place where it is being received. Why, he brought me. Yes, how he has brought us into his sweet presence, even upon this sinful earth. But he has the hand upon his dear ones in his mercy. He has that same power as it was in the day when he walked this earth. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And what a blessing then is mercy and his eternal love. By this, when it flows into your soul, you will be enabled to say, he brought me to the banqueting house. Or when he sets the table and it's a feast before you, and he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Friends, you'll be melted under the sense of it. The depth of love, how can we ever fully understand it? But we know this, that we have received it. That the blessing is ours. That we have tasted it. That we do know the sweetness of it. Oh, we do know the mercy. Oh, the comfort of it. Oh, the peace. And all the need. It's continual, isn't it? You need more. This is why we continue with these things time and again. No sooner than one occasion is over, by trusting the Lord's mercy, we look to the next. Think of that time. And to remember him. It was a time of remembrance. It is a time of remembrance. It always will be. Until the day when we stand in the eternal presence of the Lord. It is to remember. And to take that cup, which is his blood, he says, which I have shed for you. Yes, that precious blood. Oh, the need of it. Continual need of it. And supply. But as he says, he brought me to the banqueting house. Why, you sit down in his presence. Oh, to feed upon a precious Christ. What more could you want? Oh, what joy to receive it. Oh, what love flows into your heart and soul. What comfort is yours. What blessing. What power. Oh, may you know something of it. Dear friends, I cannot command it each time that I come to this place. No, it's in the Lord's hands. It's he brought me here. And when the Lord softens your hard heart, when he humbles you in the dust, when he says, take and eat, when you receive it from him, when the blessing is made precious, why then you truly humbly rejoice. And all the Lord may grant it from time to time, that you may feel it in your soul. And you younger ones, may you be brought to have a desire to walk in his ways. Oh, that there may be a day when you too shall be brought into this place where you can say, he brought me. You can't come as you are. You can't force your way in. None upon this earth can bring you. It's in the hand of the Lord and his alone. It's his work. But oh, may he grant it to you. And if those of us that can humbly come before him and trust we have some hope in his mercy, oh, may we be enabled to record that this is what the Lord has done for us. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, my understanding of the banner is this, that as we know, when the children of Israel were to gather, when the Lord God spoke to Moses, and he said how the children of Israel were to go to their various places, they had to have some means of recognition, some means of saying why I go to that particular place. And so, in a poor state of illustration, this is how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my banner is love. And he draws you to it. And you know that that is where he is bringing you. And there you are. And you come under that banner. And once you're there and that banner is over you, that eternal love is yours. It's yours and completely yours. You are now eternally loved. We have the passage of scripture to prove these things. Dear Jeremiah records it, that the word was spoken to him, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness, he says, have I drawn thee. Gain this drawing power. You're drawn into this place of love. Oh, may the Lord draw us. I know in my poor sinful soul how much I need it. But dearest friend, when you're there, when he brings you, when you feel it in your heart, oh, the power and the work of it in the soul, humbling, bringing forth praise. Oh, you must praise him. Then the spirit of worship ascends up unto him from your poor and needy soul. You see, then and then only can you obey the commandment What was the commandment? The Lord Jesus Christ said it was the first and the greatest. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. How to do this? But only when you know the love of God within you. Oh, may the Lord grant it to us. We stand in the need of it so greatly. I do feel such a poor sinner. How could we come before a just and a holy God? Only as he brings us there. Only as he draws us there. Only as he provides for us. Puts in us that seeking soul. That pleading, that wrestling, that spirit of desire. Oh, that the Lord would speak to me. Oh, that the Lord would provide for me. Oh, that I might know that banner over me was love. Oh, I trust there's been some thought here that, oh, this is the Lord's work. Do we know it? Have we received it? Friend, if you have known anything of it, it'll never leave you, and you'll want more. Again, I can remember that same dear man, Reginald Morris. I may have said it here before, bear with me if I repeat it, but I can remember it to this day, as he stood in the pulpit at Bexley, speaking from these words in verse 2 of chapter 1, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. He said, if you've had one kiss, you'll want another. Friends, if you know anything of it, you'll understand what he was saying. You'll want another. Oh, may the Lord grant it to us, through his mercy and by his grace, to know some sweetness of his mercy and love for our poor, needy, never-dying soul. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.